What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
As promised, kind enough to join us right now, the Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations and the General Manager of your Kansas City Royals. He is J.J. Piccolo. J.J., shake your hand, man. It's been a while. How you been?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, man. I'm ready for it. Yeah. I'm ready for it.
It gets you ready for it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is fun.
And I remember last season, Q, talking about, man, it was pretty obvious at this time last year that, wow, that team started to come together at Royals Rally last season.
It was a great event for us because we had so many new faces. They all knew each other from playing against each other, some together. But to see them get together, their families get together, you start to realize right then and there, we've got something special here with the group of guys we have in that clubhouse, and certainly proved to be true. And it feels a lot the same this year.
Speaking of special, man, first time I had a chance to speak with Carlos Estevez. Boy, that seems like a good – not only a great arm, but just a good dude.
Really impressive guy. Very articulate. A lot of these guys work hard to learn English. He's pretty much perfected it. But aside from that, we had done a lot of work on him back in July at the trade deadline. And there are a lot of connections that we had unknowingly at the time. But talking to those guys and then having a Zoom call with him the other day, a couple days before we signed him, we were even more impressed. And some of the things he brought up, he talked about, just how he experienced life in baseball and how he got better. Mentioned Wade Davis and Greg Holland and how much they meant to him. So it was a really impressive call. And we were going to try to sign him anyway, but that was sort of the nail that finished it off. So it was great to do those things.
Well, before we get too deep, just an overall thought on the current roster as it's constructed a couple of weeks before spring.
We're happy with the way the offseason went. We had some clear objectives that we wanted to fulfill. One was a leadoff hitter. The other one's keeping our pitching intact. The third one, not necessarily in that order, was trying to find a middle-of-the-order bat. That was slim pickings this year. It was hard to try to find that middle-of-the-order bat, whether it was via trade or free agency. But when we realized that wasn't going to happen, it was like, okay, how else can we improve our team? And that's where the bullpen, which was something Q had been pushing for anyway. Let's just keep adding arms, because if you can pitch and play defense, we'll be in every game. So it was an opportunity for us to dive into that reliever market, and Carlos was the guy we targeted, and I'm glad we got him.
So where do things stand as far as that impact bat you were taking aim at?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot left out there. There's a few players out there that we think could potentially help our team get a little bit better. I wouldn't sit here and say they're going to be our 4, 5, 6-hole hitters, mm-hmm. but they certainly could help our lineup, give us some versatility. So we're going to continue to work on it. And you never know. I mean, if somebody, something happens with the club and all of a sudden they have an extra outfielder, they may look to trade an outfielder. It doesn't seem to be the case right now, but, things can change. We made a trade in spring training last year to get John Schreiber. So, as you get into spring training, you continue to evaluate your team. Somebody may look at their team a little bit differently and realize we have an area of depth that we can trade to pick up something else we need. If that happens, that's great too.
The power that was provided from the big three in the lineup last year of Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby, can we expect that to be duplicated?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's a shame that Vinny's season was cut short by the month, but he was probably going to end up with 110 to 115 RBIs. Mm-hmm. So to have three guys, I still consider him a 100 RBI guy, to have three guys that have 100 RBIs, it's pretty impressive. But I think with the addition of Jonathan India, that's going to hit in front of those guys. There'll be more opportunities for them to get runners in. And then, we always talk about the leadoff spot, but also that 8-9-hole hitter is pretty important too. If they could get on base at a higher rate, now you have an even better chance for all of those guys to continue to get RBIs. And I know an RBI stat is not something that people really hang their hat on anymore, but there's a skill of being able to focus when a guy's in scoring position and be able to get the ball in play. I think Vinny had 13 sacrifice flies last year. That's clearly a nonverbal sign to us that it's important to him to get the run in. He basically gives himself up to just kind of lift the ball in the air and get a run. Mm-hmm. So we got the right mindset to knock runs in and get guys in from scoring position, but you got to have guys on base. And that's where I think, because of the addition of Jonathan India, the maturity of some of the other guys that'll hit 8 and 9, they should have plenty of opportunity to continue to put up those types of numbers.
I mentioned to open up the show just some of the questions that I had going into spring training, and one of them was, can they find power in the corners? Now, you know, Vinny's got it over there at first base, but third, left, and right, is that a question for you, or the type of production you get from shortstop and catcher, does it offset the traditional thinking of power in the corners?
Yeah, we're a little bit unique like that. So if you look at our own profile sheets, what do you want out of your third baseman, your shortstop? You know, the script's flipped a little bit with us because we have such a special shortstop and a catcher that's still a productive major league hitter. So it is a little bit different, but there's a little give and take with that. And, you know, I don't think we'd be any different. You know, if Bobby was playing third base and Salvi was playing first base, you know, and let's say Vinny was playing the outfield, you're still getting 100 RBIs from those guys. So it doesn't really matter. So with that, you just want to put the best defensive club around there. And we get some things to figure out defensively. I mean, we know that. Jonathan India is, you know, very open to playing the outfield. Clearly has not played out there other than spring training. Michael Massey is willing to play the outfield. We think he's a very good second baseman. So we have some things that we've got to figure out. And I think the sort of the ace in the hole for us is the versatility of Michael Garcia. He's a really good third baseman. He's a really good shortstop, a really good second baseman. But we're going to get a look at him in the outfield this year too, because I think he could be maybe that other side of center field like Garrett Hampson filled in for us last year. We think Michael can do that, and that provides at-bats for him as well.
Is he excited by that?
Yeah. Yeah, he was, you know, he knows he's a good athlete, and even going to third base, you know, he thinks of himself as a shortstop, as he should, but he knows who's next to him. I think we all think he did a great job playing third base last year, but we got a glimpse of him in spring training in center field 2 years ago because we had some injuries, and he moved around really well out there. His instincts are great for the game. He's got no fear, so going to the wall, coming to dive for balls, things that make an outfielder a little bit better, he has those intangibles, and we think he can handle pretty well.
So do you expect to see Massey, India, and Garcia play Cactus League games in the outfield?
Yeah, we do. And that's where we've got to evaluate and make a determination. What's our best setup? The versatility is nice. Sometimes you can be a little too versatile.
Sure.
You know, you know what we don't want to have is one night India's playing left and Massey's playing second. Next night we flip them. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There might be times that happens for other circumstances, but if we're going to get settled in and something that makes a little bit more sense on a consistent basis, we have to make that evaluation in spring training.
J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, joining us here live from Royals Rally 2025. Speaking of India, I know it's not easy to part with someone like Brady Singer, a competitor like him, but in the wake of that move, how do you feel about the starting pitching depth? Obviously, those top four, you can throw Lorenzen in there as well. He'll stack him up against anybody in the American League, but depth, of course, is key.
Depth is key, and that was a difficult trade. I mean, not just his ability, but emotionally tied to Brady. You know, we've known him since the day he signed here. So moves like that are always tough, but sometimes you got to give up something to get something. And because we felt good about some of the depth and maybe our ability to sign another player like Michael Lorenzen. We had already signed Waka back, so we knew we had Waka. So now you bring Lorenzen back, but we still have a lot of faith in Alec Marsh. We have a lot of faith in Chris Bubich. We've got Kyle Wright coming back off of injury that we're excited about. And then young guy, Noah Cameron, who hasn't made his debut yet, but we feel pretty good about Noah Cameron. So we feel like we have the depth there. Then you have guys like Daniel Lynch, who has been a starter. He seemed to find his niche in the bullpen last year, but we'll probably build him up to at least 3 innings in spring training and just sort of read the room. Do we keep building him up or do we back him down and just keep him in the bullpen? Jonathan Bolin's another guy that potentially can give us depth and make a start somewhere along the way. So we feel like we're in a good spot. I mean, the top four are experienced guys. I mean, I'm starting to put Cole in that more experienced group now. The top four are really good. They've pitched in big games. They understand what it is to pitch winning baseball. And then we were, you know, again, Marsh was very good last year for us. He filled that role excellent. And then Chris Bubich, the year before, was in that role, you know, and he gets injured. So we do have depth there that we feel good about. And I think the exciting part, now that we have Carlos Estevez in the mix here, we don't have to force things as much.
Right.
Q is pretty aggressive in letting them go an extra inning last year because we didn't have the depth that we have in the bullpen now. Now we have some versatility with all the left-handers. We have power with the right-handers. Zerpa is a power lefty. It's pretty good balance, so I think it should take some pressure off of those starters as well. Now, they're going to want to pitch 7 innings because that's how they think, and we want them to think that way. But to get through a season, get through 162, we were very fortunate last year. I mean, a couple batted balls is really what the only thing that cost us starts with Waka and Marsh getting hit. But you want to preserve them as much as you can and be as strong as you can come October because it's difficult to pitch in October.
Well, it's going to make my job difficult, I feel like, because last season it was, of course, you let Lugo, Reagans, Waka face him the third time. With the amount of really good arms in that bullpen, I feel like me and the callers are going to be debating it just about every single night.
Yeah, I think so. I think Q and the staff do a great job in preparing for games and understanding matchups. So, you know, it might be 5 1/3, and we got the right guy in the bullpen ready to come in to face the right part of the order. And even though the starter may not like it that night because he wants to get through 6 or 7, I think they'll understand why, because we have a bullpen we're going to trust.
Something that's been stuck in my head since I heard Salvi say it to Joel in the celebration when you guys clinched that postseason spot was, you know, Salvi says, I hope we win it all this year, but no matter what, that this is who we are now. This is our expectation. How much is that top to bottom right now in this organization?
Yeah, very much so. And I think one of our, you know, Q and I talking through the offseason here, like what do we need to do as a front office, as a coaching staff? And it's, you know, it's to set expectations, but to temper them as well. We, you know, last year, Q's got a great saying here, went from 0 to 60. Now we just need to go from 60 to 65. You know, a little bit of improvement, maintain what we've done. And if we can manage those expectations and be real, I mean, because it still comes down to that game that day, that's all that matters in the moment is that game that day. If we can keep that mentality, understand, I think we learned a lot late August through September, what adversity is like and how difficult it is to make the playoffs. Vinny gets hurt 7 in a row. We lose 7 in a row again late in the year. Yeah. I think those types of experiences are really going to help us moving forward. So it's a long season, but understanding what the expectations are. The nice thing now is we don't need to talk about winning. These guys have done it. They understand it. And when your clubhouse runs itself, it's a lot easier as a front office, as a coaching staff to manage things because they have a common objective, and that's to get to the playoffs and win the World Series.
Talk about expectations. What are fair expectations for me, for the fans to have on your top pick last year, Jack Caglione, and when we could see him start to flirt with the big leagues?
Yeah, well, we've made a decision over it within the last couple months. You know, there's been constant dialogue with Jack about the two-way thing. You know, it's our opinion right now, the best thing for Jack is just worry about hitting. You know, we drafted him as a hitter. We know that his arrival, you don't want to put too much pressure on him, but his arrival to the major leagues is going to be pretty impactful in our lineup. So we want that as soon as we can possibly get it. Again, we can't force it, but we felt like if we had him pitching and hitting, it was going to be more difficult and maybe a longer road for him to get to the big leagues as a hitter. He completely understands it. He's a great teammate, very thoughtful in how he speaks about his career, believes he can be a two-way player, which we think is great. But I think through the conversations, he understands, all right, you drafted me as a hitter. I can get better as a hitter. I'm going to face better pitching than I've ever faced. I can get better as a first baseman. And you know what? And if his bat's moving fast, then he might be playing in the outfield a little bit too, which we've toyed around with already, not necessarily in games, but with the work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the game is moving a little bit faster right now. Guys are getting to the major leagues, you know, more quickly than they have in the past. But you want them to get there at the right time when they're prepared. So all we want Jack to think about is going out. He's probably going to start in Double-A and just be as good as he can be every night in Double-A. And then it takes care of itself. And how quickly he moves will be determined by his production.
You let me know if I'm off base on this one, but as I was going over your off season, it seems to me that for a second straight winner, the Royals have done as good of a job as anybody else in the division. And I don't know if that's happened since Mr. K was running things. You've been here a lot longer than I have. Have the objectives been checked as consistently in back-to-back years as they seemingly have been here?
Well, I think the working relationship that John Sherman and I have is very good.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
But it's clear lines of communication. I felt, and I speak for our entire front office, our coaching staff, we lost more games in 2023 than we felt like we should have. Now, again, I've said this over, our record's our record. Mm-hmm. You can't change that. But I didn't think we were as far off. And of course, that's because Bobby was emerging. We had some pitchers we thought were emerging, and Michael and MJ, and still having Salvi. We had reason to believe that if we made the right moves last year, we could contend. We didn't know if we were going to make the playoffs, but we certainly expected to be better. And John had a belief in how we saw our team, gave us the ability to go sign some pitching and some hitters. And I think it's been the same theme this offseason. You know, a little tougher trading a good pitcher to get a good hitter, but he's been very supportive. And I think the vision for our club is very clear. You try not to worry about what the other teams are doing. I get questions all the time about the Dodgers, and that's the last team I'm worried about, because when we're playing them, it's going to be in the World Series, and we got to beat them 4 out of 7. That's all we're trying to do. But the objective is to win the American League Central, and I think we're in a position to compete. And, you know, nobody wants to predict we're going to win the Central, but we can compete. But you got to stay healthy. Guys got to take steps forward. We do those types of things. I would expect that we should make the playoffs again. It's a big if, though, because it's 162 you got to get through.
Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo, thank you very much for the time. I'll see you in Arizona in a couple weeks.
All right, Vern. Great seeing you.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.